Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. We are about ready to start our shiur on Parshat Ki Tisa. Today is February 15th, 2011, and live from UOS, I'm happy to learn with you for the next half hour or so about a fascinating question, which maybe we take for granted, because it's so part of the context in which we learn this parsha, and such an important and well-studied aspect of the life of Moshe Rabbeinu and the times of Bnei Yisrael. But it still begs an important question, and that is, why did Moshe break the Luchot? Why did Moshe break the tablets when he came down from Har Sinai and saw that Bnei Yisrael were worshiping the golden calf and were having a party? It's almost like a holiday for this golden calf. Why did Moshe react by breaking the Luchot? Just to set up the question a little bit more to indicate the seriousness of the question, first I'll call your attention to the last parsha, the last pasuk in the entire Torah, the very end of the book of Devarim, in chapter 34, verse 10, 11, and 12, the last three verses of the Torah. I'll read them for you. V'lokam navi od b'Yisrael k'moshe asher yad'u Hashem panim al panim. Never again did there arise in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord singled out face to face. V'chol ha'otot v'hamoftim asher shalchu Hashem lasot be'eretz Mitzrayim l'faro l'chol avadav l'chol artzo. For the various signs and portents that the Lord sent him to display in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his courtiers in and his whole country, ulechol hayada chazaka, ulechol hamora hagadol, asher asa Moshe leinei kol Yisrael, and for all the great might and awesome power that Moshe displayed before all of Israel. Commenting on this verse, this last verse, verse number 12, the last verse in the Torah, Rashi explains what these three phrases are. Again, there are three phrases that refer to Moshe's greatness in the last verse of the Torah. The first phrase is Ulechol Hayada Chazaka, and for all the great might, which Rashi means Shekibel et haTorah beLuchot biYadav, that Moshe received the Torah via the luchot that were in his hands. So when God praises Moshe, that no one has arisen quite like Moshe, no prophet has arisen like Moshe, because of the great might that he displayed, that is referring to receiving the Torah. The next phrase, ulechol hamora hagadol, and all the awesome power, Rashi says there, nisimu gvorot shebamidbar hagadol vahanora. This refers to all of the great miracles and acts of bravery or strength that Moshe did in the desert. So again, no one has arisen quite like Moshe because of all of the miracles that he did in the desert. And then we're left with one last phrase, le'enei kol Yisrael, before all of the children of Israel, in front of all the children of Israel. And here Rashi says, quoting the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, that Moshe lifted up his heart. Maybe it means he gathered courage or strength to break the luchot, to shatter the tablets on which the Aseret HaDibrot were engraved. Le'einehem, in front of all Bnei Yisrael, she'ne'emar ve'eshbereim le'einehem. Referring back to a verse earlier on in Devarim, that Moshe broke the luchot in front of all of the Jewish people. V'hiskima dat HaKadosh Baruch Hu ledato, and God agreed and approved of Moshe's activity, she'ne'emar, as it says, and now Rashi is quoting our parsha, asher shibarta, the luchos that you broke, yasher kochacha, she'shibarta. Congratulations, Moshe. You did a good job. I approve that you broke the luchot. So this last phrase, in which God says there is no one has arisen quite like Moshe, who did all these wonderful things, the last phrase is Moshe is praised here by God that he broke the Luchot, and that this verse is referring to the shattering of the Luchot. He's praised that he did it. And not only is he praised that he did it, we have to remember, if we read the Torah, the last verse, the way that Rashi did, it's quite amazing. The very last thing that we are told about Moshe in the Torah is that he broke the Luchot and that God approved. It's as if the Torah is telling us the lasting message, the lasting vision, the last thing I want you to remember about Moshe, the thing which I want to stick with your consciousness and to remember about him, which is why the Torah tells it to us last, is that Moshe broke the Luchot. So not only do we have a question of why did Moshe act this way, but we also have to contend with the question of what was so great about it, that God approves of it, and not only that God approves of it, that the Torah, that's the last thing about Moshe that the Torah tells us, perhaps teaching us that this is really what the Torah wants us to remember about Moshe. And you have to recall that the Torah tells us that Moshe was the greatest anav, right? Was the most humble person in all of the Torah. And he had a face-to-face relationship with God, which is what is said in one of the earliest verses. And he was the one who stood up to Paro, and he was the one who dealt with Bnei Yisrael's intransigence and all of their misbehavior in the desert. And he had so many wonderful qualities as a leader. The last thing the Torah tells us about him is that he broke the Luchot and that God approved. So it's a fascinating question, again, one which we take for granted, because from the various earliest times that we study Torah, we are reminded about this, but it still begs the question about what was Moshe thinking. So I'd like to analyze with you for a few minutes this afternoon the various approaches that have been taken by our commentaries as to why Moshe broke the Luchot. We'll start with Rashbam. What's interesting about Rashbam is that Rashbam is considered a Pashtan. Rashbam is considered to be someone, a Torah commentary, who tries to follow the most pshat-oriented approach, who tries to give the most straightforward, almost literal explanation of the Torah text. And here, the Rashbam does something out of character. If you read the verses of the Torah, it seems clear that Moshe actively threw down the Luchot, that Moshe actively thrusted the Luchot out of his hand. That is the language that the Torah uses. But let me read you the language. This is in chapter 32, verse 19. Vayhi kasher karav el machaneh. When Moshe came near the camp, this is after he comes down the mountain and God tells him that he has to break the Luchot. Vayara to Egel, umicholot, and he saw the calf and the dancing. Vayichar af Moshe. Moshe becomes angry. Vayashlech miyadav et haluchot, and he hurls or sends forth. It's an action word. It's a verb. He sends forth the Luchot from his hands. Vayishaberotam, and he breaks them. Notice it doesn't say, and they broke. It does not say, and Moshe thrust them forth, and because of Moshe throwing them, they happen to have broken. The Torah says Moshe thrust them away or threw them away, and he broke them. Moshe broke them tachatahar, at the foot of the mountain. Moshe shattered them. It seems, in the use of these two words, that Moshe thrust them forward and that Moshe broke them, it seems that the Torah is telling us that Moshe wanted to do this. This was his intent. Comes along the Rashbam and says that is not at all what happened. Maybe he's trying to defend Moshe, and we have to ask ourselves why he would need to defend Moshe, and we'll get to that in a moment. Says the Rashbam, when Moshe saw the calf, his strength ebbed, and he only had enough power to thrust the tablets far enough away that they would not damage his feet as they fell from his hands. So the Torah, Rashbam, gets away with explaining only one of these words. Moshe actually did throw them. But why did he throw them? But why did he thrust them away a little bit? Because, says the Rashbam, this is how I understand it, they were falling anyway. Because Moshe, after seeing the sin, lost his power. His strength was slipping away. And these were heavy stones. And we're going to see a midrash which sort of backs up the Rashbam here. And they were heavy. And so Moshe had no strength. He was overwhelmed with grief or sadness, whatever the case may be. He couldn't hold them anymore. So he knew they were falling. So instead of letting them fall on his toes and breaking his toes, he pushed them away a little bit just so they wouldn't fall on his toes. A little self-preservation here. But the Rashbam is teaching us something, or explaining that Moshe did not want to break the Luchot out of anger. Moshe did not want to throw them away, but rather he had no choice but to sort of throw them away a little bit so that he wouldn't break his toes. But Moshe had no intention of breaking them. He just lost his strength, and they fell to the ground on their own. So I want to just backtrack for 1 minute. And again, if anyone on the phone wants to ask a question, feel free to. If anyone who's watching online wants to type a question in the chat box on the right, please go ahead and do so. I want to touch base for 1 second, you know, backtrack for 1 second, and ask another question based on the Rashbam. Why does the Rashbam have to defend Moshe? What's the big deal if he broke them? Why does the Rashbam seem to not want to admit that Moshe broke the Luchot? I think we can answer this question by just reviewing the course of events that had happened up to that point. Moshe is on Har Sinai. Moshe is on the mountain. I'm just grabbing some notes here. And he's up there, presumably, to get the Torah. And Moshe gets the Luchot from Hashem. Or actually, it seems like Moshe is told about the goings-on down below. Then God gives Moshe the Luchot, so he already knew what was going on once he got the Luchot. So he really shouldn't have been surprised. So the whole question of how it is that Moshe was surprised, it sounds, at least the text, sounds like Moshe was surprised when he got down to the foot of the mountain. Even after we read explicitly in the Torah that God told Moshe what was going on, why did he seem to be surprised? And we have to also understand that there was no way for Moshe to know, although we know there's a happy ending, at least when it comes to getting the second set of Luchot, there's no way that Moshe could have known that if he broke these Luchot, there would be a second chance. Right? It's a really an amazing thing to think about. These Luchot, which represent the covenant, the Brit, between God and the Jewish people, were the only ones. Think about it. It was the only Torah in the whole world. And Moshe breaks it without knowing that he would get another set later on, which would replace these. Furthermore, there was no nevuah. God didn't tell Moshe, "Ooh, I'm really angry. Break the Luchot because I don't want to enter into the brit with them at this point. I don't want to enter into the covenant." Once Moshe walks down the mountain, he is on his own. And he does not seem to be acting with direct instructions from God. Put all that together, and maybe we could understand why the Rashbam wants to defend Moshe and say he didn't really break them on his own. They were simply falling out of his hand. How could Moshe have taken matters into his own hands like this and risk never getting the Torah again and risk destroying the covenant between God and Bnei Israel and risk ruining everything that presumably the Torah has been leading up to from the very first word? So the Rashbam says none of that is true. Moshe didn't purposely risk anything. Moshe simply lost the ability to hold on to the Luchot. They were slipping out of his hand, and he simply thrust them away a little bit so as not to hurt himself. It's a nice explanation, a wonderful defense of Moshe. What it does not do, however, is explain the other word, which is va-yishaber, and shattered them, indicating that Moshe shattered them. Okay, the Rashbam doesn't address that. The Rashbam, by the way, could be basing himself on certain midrashim that remind us that the first set of Luchot had a miracle surrounding them, that the divine inscription on these Luchot enabled Moshe miraculously to carry them. It's almost like they were flying. The the luchot themselves, they carried themselves. But once the sin of the golden calf came, that miracle disappeared because God presumably was angry, and Moshe was no longer able to carry them on his own. So the Rashbam puts a little bit more of a rational twist on it, not that they were carrying that they were carried on their own or that they were floating, but that Moshe was able to carry them on his own, but then ultimately lost his ability to carry them on his own because of his anger or shock or distress or surprise from seeing what was going on down below. So that is the Rashbam. He sort of twists the Midrash into less miraculous terms, but it's sort of the same idea, that Moshe did not throw the luchot down. He had no intention of breaking them. They simply fell out of his hand because he couldn't hold them anymore. That is the Rashbam. Comes along the Ramban and wants to explain as well why it is that Moshe broke the luchot. And this is what the Ramban said. Moshe did not hesitate to shatter the tablets, for he was so angered when he saw this evil deed, he could not control himself. So that's the Ramban. He didn't intend on doing it when he came down the mountain. When he came down the mountain with the Luchot, perhaps he was hoping there'd be some way to salvage the Matan Torah, the experience of giving the Torah. But when he actually got down there, he saw what was going on, got so upset, and he actually broke them. That is much more in line, I'm sure you will agree, with the pshat of the psukim. That's what the psukim say. Moshe got angry, and he broke them. Maybe the Ramban is suggesting also in defense of Moshe that it was really involuntary, or at least it wasn't premeditated. He couldn't control himself, he got angry, and so he broke them, as opposed to some voluntary or premeditated action, which again would have been very hard to defend, considering that this was the only set of the luchot. Others take a different approach. The Rashbam and the Ramban are not willing to accept that Moshe did this in a premeditated or even purposeful way. The other Mefarshim are suggesting that that's in fact what happened. Moshe broke them on purpose. So let me give you some Midrashic interpretations, share with you some Midrashic interpretations of this. Some Midrashic interpretations maintain that Moshe is purposely broke the Luchot to protect Bnei Yisrael from their sin. And Moshe says as follows, if I give them the Luchot, which represents the Torah, the covenant, the responsibilities that Bnei Yisrael has with Hashem, if I give them the Luchot, then they will be fully culpable for their actions because they will have the Torah. And once you have the Torah, once you have, I guess, proof of the covenant into which one entered, I guess that's the contract, then God would be able to say to them, it says in the contract that you're not allowed to do this, and you accepted the contract. Moshe gave it to you at the foot of the mountain. So now you're fully culpable, and I'm going to punish you in full, with full measure, for your sin. So Moshe thinks to himself, wow, I can't do that. I can't give them the Luchot, because otherwise they're going to be fully culpable for their sin. So instead, I rather them be judged as inadvertent sinners, what we call in halachic language as shogeg, inadvertent sinners, and maybe Hashem will have some mercy on them. So Moshe does break the Luchot on purpose, but he does it in order to preserve the relationship between God and the Jewish people. And there is a big difference between sitting purposely when one knows the rules, when the entire agreement is sealed, versus when one sins inadvertently or by accident, or when one does not fully understand what they have gotten themselves into. And so Moshe would rather them do sin inadvertently than on purpose, and so he doesn't give them the Luchot. That to me is a beautiful Midrashic interpretation, and it really reminds us of the selfless love that Moshe had for the Jewish people. And what a selfless leader he was. Because you have to remember, he's really putting himself at stake. Again, there was no direct prophecy from God to Moshe to break these luchot. There was no guarantee that they would even be replaced after they were broken. But nonetheless, Moshe is willing to put all that at stake, and perhaps his own reputation at stake, because what if God thought it was wrong? In the end, he tells him he was right, but Moshe had no way of knowing that. So it's a beautiful example of a selfless act on Moshe's part, that he was willing to risk all of that to save Bnei Yisrael, at least partially, to make them inadvertent sinners. I want to share with you another approach which I thought of, based on an experience of my own when I was in elementary school. So I was on the basketball team of my elementary school, but I was not the the best player on the team by any stretch of the imagination. And from time to time, I also got myself into some trouble. And so I remember I got into trouble once in eighth grade, and the principal called me into his office, and he said, "Listen, Gelman, I've just about had enough with you, and one more time you're off the basketball team. I have no other way to handle the situation. One more time you're off the basketball team." So sure enough, some time goes by, and I find myself in the principal's office again. But this time, I'm with my very good friend, Robbie Satran, who was the star of the basketball team. Not only the star of the basketball team, he was the star of the entire basketball league. And we got into trouble together, thank God. And the principal is sitting with us in the office, and he says, "I don't know what to do with you guys, but I'll tell you this, Gelman, you're lucky you got in trouble this time with Satran. Because I told you last time that I'd throw you off the basketball team. But I can't throw you off the basketball team after getting in trouble with Satran and not also throw Satran off the basketball team. But there's no way I'm throwing Satran off the basketball team because we need him too much. So you're off the hook this time." So I think I've thought about that episode often. And I think now it helps us understand why Moshe broke the Luchot. He's saying to himself, if I don't do something, God's going to destroy them. In fact, God threatens to destroy them. So maybe if I break the Luchot, God will say, you know, I really want to destroy Bnei Yisrael because this is just the last straw. They've been in my office, so to speak, so many times. I can't handle it anymore. I want to destroy them. So Moshe says, if I break the Luchot and do something wrong, and here this approach is indicating that Moshe knew that this was a risky move, but maybe if I'm culpable along with Bnei Yisrael, God will hopefully God will have mercy on me because this is really my first mistake. And if He has mercy on me and I'm in trouble at the same time with Bnei Yisrael, hopefully He'll have mercy with Bnei Yisrael as well. So in this scheme, my friend Robbie Satran is playing the role of Moshe, and I'm playing the role of Bnei Yisrael. And luckily, it seems like God buys it, because even though God threatens to destroy Bnei Yisrael, what does Moshe say? Moshe says, if you destroy Bnei Yisrael, wipe me out of the book, meaning you have to punish me along with them. And that's when Moshe says, well, in that case, maybe not, because Moshe is too valuable, and I'm going to have to suffer with Bnei Yisrael for a little bit longer, just like the principal had to suffer with me a little bit longer after I got in trouble with my friend Robbie Satran. So that is the lesson I learned in my principal's office. And until I was thinking about this question, I never applied it to that. But I think it does apply. I want to share with you another approach, one final approach to the Jewish people, to this question. This is from the sefer called the Meshech Chachma from Rabbi Meir Simcha HaKohen of Dvinsk. This is a fascinating approach, and it offers an interesting insight into general approach to Judaism. Rav Meir Simcha Cohen of Dvinsk, by the way, was born in 1843 and died in 1926, and he was a very well-known Talmudic scholar and a rabbi in the city of Dvinsk for 40 years. And in 1906, he turned down a rabbinic position in Jerusalem because the community wanted him to stay there, that they thought if he left, it would destroy their community. And so he stayed. He says as follows, that Moshe recognizes that the core sin of the golden calf lie in their belief that there was sanctity outside of God. And I'm taking this approach to Rav Meir Simcha Kohen of Divinsk from Rabbi Shmuel Golden in a book he wrote on the Parsha. And he recognizes that when Bnei Yisrael sinned, they sinned because Moshe disappears, or they feel he's disappeared, and they feel compelled to create some other source of holiness or some other way to connect to Hashem indirectly. And so out of that desire comes the golden calf. And so Moshe says he has to figure out a way to cure the nation of this misconception. Moshe does not want Bnei Yisrael to believe that he is holy, or for that matter, to believe that any other object has inherent holiness. All of the holiness that things have or that people have is directly from Hashem. So Moshe breaks the Luchot, which sort of shocks Bnei Yisrael, and he breaks the Luchot in a way to effectively say, I'm not holy, I'm just a man. And not only am I not holy, but the sanctuary, the Mishkan is not holy, the utensils are not holy, and not only that, even this physical Torah, these Luchot that has God's writing on it, God's handwriting, because that's the miracle, is that they were carved by God, they are not intrinsically holy. They only derive their holiness from relationship with God. And your holiness is based on your willingness to serve God, not from the presence of holy objects. So Moshe destroys the Luchot as a way to remind Bnei Yisrael that buildings aren't holy, books aren't holy, even people aren't holy, unless they're connected to Hashem. So you building this Egel, you think that it intrinsically has holiness. It has no intrinsic holiness. Then Moshe goes on, of course, to grind it up into a fine powder. But Moshe recognizes that the sin of the golden calf was a result of this misconception, and by breaking the Luchot, Moshe is trying to teach Bnei Yisrael in a very severe way that there's no intrinsic holiness in any of these things. And so those are some of the approaches that we have to breaking the Luchot. Again, just to review, the Rashbam, who says that Moshe didn't break them at all, they were falling and he just moved them away from his feet. The Ramban says he did it out of anger. Both of them are concerned with how could Moshe have decided to do such a thing, considering what was at stake. A number of the Midrashim indicate that he did it on purpose, so that they would not be culpable for their sins, as if they hadn't even received the Torah. I suggested that it was a trick that Moshe used to make himself culpable, so that Moshe wouldn't punish Bnei Yisrael, because he wouldn't want to punish Moshe. And finally, Rav Meir Simcha of Divinsk says Moshe actually did break them on purpose, but he did that in order to teach Bnei Yisrael a lesson, again, an important lesson, knowing full well that it may have led to not having the Luchot, but that was more important, because without the recognition that all of our holiness comes from Hashem, what's the point of all this anyway? And that's the risk that Moshe was willing to take. There are two questions here on the chat, so I'll quickly get to those. Hadn't Bnei Yisrael already heard the first and second commandments? It's unclear exactly what's going on here in terms of the order, but it's possible that they had. So even if the Luchot were broken, the commandment was known. It could be, Pablo, but it's unclear. It's hard to piece together exactly the order of events that are happening here. And even if they had, hearing one thing, maybe hearing is different than receiving the document itself. A verbal agreement maybe doesn't have that much power as actually having the contract in hand. It could be. In any case, those are some of the approaches to breaking of the Luchot. Some of them, again, speak to Moshe's offering a great sacrifice, a great potential personal sacrifice on his own part to save Bnei Yisrael from certain punishment. Okay, my dear friends, that brings us to half an hour. Thank you very much for joining us. It'll be archived as usual. And I look forward to once again seeing you in shul, if not before, and certainly back here next week. All the best. Have a wonderful day. Shalom.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi.
You're welcome.